to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Kinsella on 750 The Game.
Oregon State's spring game coming up this Saturday. And Oregon will be a week from Saturday. Spring football games on the horizon. Everybody talking about how beautiful it is. Was it a beautiful day in Eugene? Dan Lanning thought so.
Beautiful day in Eugene, man. It was a great day for some football. I thought our guys went out there and had competitive toughness, really operated fairly clean. Certainly some things to clean up, but saw some good from both sides of the ball, some explosive plays on offense, some great pursuit from defense. Got to get an opportunity to look at the film and see exactly what we saw, but our guys worked today.
Guys worked today. Also got great weather. Should be good weather here, hopefully, for the spring games. Let's go to Boulder, where Brian Howell of the Boulder Daily Camera does a great job covering Colorado sports. He's been sort of at the epicenter of Big 12 news and hysteria with Coach Prime and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And Shedeur and Travis heading off to the NFL. What's life been like for Brian Howell? Let's check in. What's life been like, Brian Howell?
Well, it rolls along, and you know, just 13 minutes ago, CU announced that they're going to retire Shedeur and Travis's numbers on Saturday at the spring game. So, we got more Shedeur and Travis coming up before we move on.
So the numbers will be retired. Do they do that? Like, is that a Coach Prime driven thing, or are they just, you know, trying to, you know, punctuate? Hey, look, it was a great era and a great couple seasons, or how does that go?
Yeah, I think it's a Coach Prime era-driven thing. I mean, they've actually had four numbers retired, but three of them have kind of been brought back into circulation, where guys wear patches on their jerseys that kind of commemorate the player that had it previously. So it's sort of not unprecedented, but it's sort of rare to have that number retired at CU. So I think it's definitely, it's never been this quick. Never been somebody that just finished playing.
Yeah, and by the way, give us the update on the spring game. I saw you had some ticket numbers, and let's kind of dive into that, because I think some people are viewing it as, oh, the numbers are way down, but they are charging for these spring football tickets. What's the current status with that?
Yeah, well, as of Friday afternoon, it was just a little under 10,000, which I'm guessing it's not coincidental that on Monday morning, they announced they're going to have those two guys there to retire their jerseys. Might be something that drives some ticket sales, too. But, this little under 10,000, which, 2 years ago, they sold it out with 47,000, and last year it was right around 25,000. So certainly not the draw that it's been the last 2 years with Travis and Shedeur being a part of that spring game. But still, I mean, for some context, 2022, the last spring game without Coach Prime, they weren't charging, and they barely had 1,000 people there. So this is still going to be one of the top three most revenue-driven spring games in CU history.
I am curious to see how they're going to be without those guys in uniform. Do you have a sense this early, or are you really waiting to see them on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm waiting, because I'm actually waiting to see them in August, because I think that I think there's probably a lot of, I don't know about a lot, but there's some key players on this team that aren't here yet. Maybe that's the case for a lot of teams, but I think they're going to be fairly active in the portal. I just think there's some holes to fill, but I think they're set at quarterback. I don't know if they haven't started yet, but I think they're set with who's there. You know, Caden Salter, the transfer from Liberty, and also Juju Lewis, who was a five-star recruit coming into this year. It's going to be one of those two guys, and they've got a lot of good receivers. So I think that there's some explosiveness on offense, but certainly some holes to fill.
The Big 12, I thought that Colorado to the Big 12, Oregon to the Big 10, SMU to the ACC were probably the three moves that I think we'll look back on and we'll go, hey, those were, you know, for as much as people might hate realignment, those are moves that might end up making sense for the three schools. Is it too early to say that for Colorado to the Big 12, or are people already saying, hey, slam dunk, that was a great move for the Buffs?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's looked back. I think it's not too early to say that. I think that they're excited about being in the Big 12 for a lot of reasons. I mean, we all know, you covered as well as anybody, all the financial issues with the Pac-12 at the end, and CU wanted stability in that regard. But I think that, take that away, I think it's just a better fit as far as, like, on the field. You know, I think that there's a lot of schools that they align with as far as, traditional rivalries and things like that. So I don't think anybody's looked back. I think that, for the most part, it was a pretty good first year in the Big 12 for Colorado, and they're looking forward to the future.
The momentum, the contract extensions, did it surprise you that Coach Prime stayed and got the raise and seems to be embedded there, or did you anticipate that coming all down the line all the way?
I'm a little surprised because I always thought from day one this was probably a two-year deal that he would coach until Shadur graduated at the end of the 24 season and then ride off into the sunset and go back to TV. So I'm a little bit surprised. But I've also known since December that they're working on this. But working on it doesn't mean they're going to get it done. So I've known that they've been working on it for a while. So I was glad to see it done. So I think that they're trying to keep some momentum going with the program. They need momentum going. But I definitely was surprised. I thought for sure when he first signed on, I thought this is a two-year deal. And it's obviously going to be more than that. So I think it's a great deal for Colorado.
We're talking to Brian Howell, Boulder Daily Camera. Spring game for Colorado football coming up. Numbers being retired for Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. Who's going to have the better pro career with those two guys, Brian? You've seen them up close for a couple seasons.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Travis is so good. And, whether he can play both positions full-time for a long time, I don't know. I would probably say him. Just because I think he's a better overall football player. And he can play on both sides of the ball. I think that he's a guy that maybe he plays both ways full-time early in his career, but at some point when he goes back to one side, he's going to be dominant on that side too. So maybe him, but I think they're both going to have really good careers. I think if Shador gets in a good situation for him, then he's going to be there for a long time, and I think whatever team gets him is going to be happy with him.
Brian, the football world is changing. The sands are shifting. Colorado has been one of those programs that has really embraced the portal. You got a kid at Tennessee who is trying to hold out and leverage his team for more money. You've got another program reportedly involved at Oregon that's kind of going, hey, guess what? They're trying to shop your kid around. Be careful. What do you make of what's happening, and what is Colorado's stance? Do you get a sense that Coach Prime, how would he react to having a player on his roster holding out?
Yeah, I think if Coach Prime had that player, he'd say, see you later, and then move on to the next. He's always been very adamant that, he understands the landscape of it, but he's also been very adamant and said many times, don't come here asking for the bag. Come here asking to get developed so you can go to the NFL and get the real money. So I don't think he would really stand for a player that held out like that and was trying to get more money. I think that he would move on and try to get that next player. So, in Colorado, I'm not sure they have – I think they're in a better spot, but I don't think they have the money where they would, compete with that high dollar value anyway. But I do think that would be his stance on that.
Brian, you talked a little bit about Travis Hunter, but how important is it for Shador to get drafted by the right team, get into the right situation, have some success early, or maybe have a chance that he's got some weapons and some tools around him?
I think it's important. I mean, I think it's important for every quarterback that comes in. I think that's why a lot of them fail, is that they get in a bad situation. And so I'm really hoping he gets in a situation that is good for him, because I like the guy, and I hope he does well. But I think he needs to be in a situation that's going to allow him to be him to a point, which includes letting him have some say in the offense and be collaborative with the offensive coordinator and let him use his voice. And so if he doesn't get that, I think it's going to be a problem. But if he's allowed to kind of be himself, I think he's going to do really well in the NFL.
I am curious to see how both of those guys do. I'm also curious to see, what happens with Colorado football moving forward. You're in it, and you probably take it for granted or maybe don't understand how little the outside world knows about the inner workings of Colorado football. But what is it like for you to cover this team? And you know, has the docu-series, the docudrama in those first 2 years, has that wave of enthusiasm and hysteria passed now? Has it settled down? Can you get access to Coach Sanders? Or is it still kind of nutty in that way?
Yeah, it's not really a circus so much, but the hysteria definitely died down. I mean, I think, honestly, the spring game numbers show that it's not the same. And there's still excitement about the program, obviously, but it's not the same. And, I don't know. I've heard that, there's not going to be a docuseries this next year, but I don't know. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But as far as access to Coach Sanders, it's the same as it's been from day one. It's, we get him every now and then at a press conference, and that's about it. I mean, we don't get one-on-ones with him or anything like that. You pretty much got to be national to get that. But we'll speak to him on Thursday for only the second time this spring. So it'll be exciting to hear from him.
We don't get
to know him a whole lot.
All right, give me an idea, how you get an interview with Coach Prime. As a beat guy who's around all the time, is it hard for you to get a one-on-one? Can you get to him one-on-one, or do you have to wait and do it in a group setting? What is that like?
Since he's been at Colorado, I've never had a one-on-one with him. So, yeah, I've tried many times. And I had when he first got hired, he coached the Celebration Bowl at Jackson State for his last game there. And I went down to Atlanta, and I covered that, and I got one-on-one with him a couple of times, one without a microphone, one with. And that's the last one-on-ones I've had with him. So he just doesn't do one-on-one locally unless it's like his coach's show.
He doesn't need to do it, does he?
No, he doesn't. I mean, we understand that. I mean, when we talked to him a couple weeks ago, it was week 2 of spring ball. That was the first time we talked to him since the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
So, but he had done tons of media. I mean, he had been all over, ESPN, Good Morning America, everything else. But as far as locally, he doesn't need us. He's one of those coaches, one of the few coaches that probably doesn't need the local media at all.
Yeah, I've watched that over the years. Like Chip Kelly got that way at Oregon. At the beginning, he really was engaged with local media, and then I think he suddenly realized, hey, I can do that same interview with ESPN, and he started bypassing the Eugene Register Guard. He started bypassing the Oregonian. He started kind of reaching above it. I'll give Dan Lanning credit. I reached out to him the other day and bam, right back to me. And he doesn't need me. And I think sometimes, maybe he's young, maybe he hasn't learned yet. I don't know. But we shall see. All right, you're doing a great job. Anybody you're watching in particular in the spring game that you're curious about?
The quarterbacks. I mean, we just haven't seen them at all. They're two new guys, obviously, that we don't get to watch spring practice at all other than what they throw on YouTube. And so I think that's the biggest question mark is what do they have to replace Shadur? And so I'm looking forward to seeing those two guys and also the young receivers. They're really talented at receiver. They lost 4 NFL guys, but they've got a ton of talent at receiver. So I'm looking forward to seeing those guys. And then, obviously, the key for Colorado is going to be the trenches. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what those guys look like against each other.
Brian Howell, it is a beautiful day in Oregon today. What's the weather like in Boulder?
It's beautiful today, and it's not supposed to be beautiful on Saturday. So,
wow.
Coach Klein cannot catch a break. Most spring games are pretty gorgeous around here. But his first one 2 years ago, it was a snowstorm. They had to plow the field right before the game. Last year it was raining the entire time, and as I look at the forecast right now, Friday's high is 39 with a 40% chance of snow, and Saturday is 47 with a 35% chance of snow. So it might be the second snowy spring game in 3 years to Coach Brian.
I appreciate you joining us. Thank you, man. Stay warm.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. There goes Brian Howell of the Boulder Daily Camera. By the way, sunny and 73, the high of 73 today in the Portland metropolitan area. And by the way, all week, sunshine all week into next week. So that'll be good out here. Oregon State should get 60s and partly cloudy on Saturday. At least that's the forecast now. I don't think it could be stressed enough how difficult that job is to cover that team with Coach Prime navigating the media the way he does. I wonder how that ultimately impacts him if he doesn't win and has people in that close inner circle that feel like, hey, you never gave us the time. What, you know, we'll come after you. Keep an eye on that in Colorado. When the local guys turn on Coach Prime, how does that affect the narrative? Because he's not cultivated that local media contingent. Brian Howell hadn't talked to him. Has not had a one-on-one. I've had one-on-ones with Trent Bray and Dan Lanning, and we, you know, you listen to the show. We talk, and in part, we talk because I want to know how these guys are thinking. I want to know, you know, what they're, you know, you get to check in with them. You get to, you know, take the temperature a little bit. And I do think that cultivation helps those coaches and helps them connect with fans, helps them, you know, when Oregon needs to sell tickets or promote the spring game, you better believe Dan Lanning will be like, hey, can I come on your show? Same for Trent Bray. And on that note, I think Malik Murphy is coming on this week, Oregon State quarterback in front of the big spring game. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.